I constantly say that the plan to return is just that. It's a plan. And at some point, we have to remember that every league is going to have a conversation with their players' association, with the union and the players involved in that. And it's at that point that we see how real these plans are, how executable the plans truly are. Go look at Wingo on ESPN Radio, ESPN News Series, XM Channel 80. Jason Fitz in for Trey Wingo, sitting with Mike Golic, Mike Golic Jr., presented by Progressive Insurance.
I always, in my 9 years in a league, I always had to hear from the player rep from the team, because that player rep was always involved in the phone calls, and then you would hear it from them. I was never in a position to be, you know what was going on in the phone call. That's why it's so good to have guests like we have coming up that kind of knows what goes on in these phone calls.
When you have one player rep for the team, do you constantly wear that person out with little things you want to unearth?
Well, the unfortunate thing, and yeah, I said this before, you know, years ago, and I don't know where it is now. Our next guest can maybe tell us that when he's in the locker rooms. There was, unfortunately, a lot of apathy. A lot of guys would sit in that room, and the player rep would be talking to you. I definitely was that union guy. Hell, when we struck in 87, I got caught on, you know, all the news channels throwing rocks at the buses with the replacement players coming in, you know, so I was trying to pick up all the union stuff. But guys, there would be apathy there, and you would just kind of say, okay, whatever our player rep says, that's what we're going to do. And that's where I think guys just, they need to have that information and really kind of be able to digest it themselves.
Well, let's talk to somebody now that's part of the NFL Players Association, but no better than most. Sam Acho joins us on the show, Penzo Performance Line, obviously former Texas linebacker. Sam, thanks so much for the time. There was a call yesterday. What can you tell us about the call between the Players Association and the league yesterday?
Yeah, well, thank you all for having me. The call didn't make too much progress, but we didn't expect to make too much progress. The player stance is and will be our main concern is player safety. And the ownership stance, it seems as if their stance is more about making money. And so the way we see it, we're not going to compromise making money versus player safety. Yes, players want to play football, but at the same time, the risk cannot outweigh the reward.
And so, Sam, I'm curious what the biggest items are on the to-do list from the NFLPA side. We know that safety certainly has on-the-field components, but now during a time with a global pandemic, there's obviously a testing element to it. So what are the goals at this point that are probably most important to the PA?
Well, the most important goal is having a system in which we understand the threshold of when games will get canceled or when practices will get canceled. As of now, the only system is a commissioner who gets to decide by his own standard if and when anything gets canceled, no matter how many outbreaks there are. And that, for us, is not acceptable. There needs to be minimum guidelines saying if this many people have COVID, if this many teams, as they start to practice, they play against each other. That's the main issue. Another issue is the preseason games. We have a team of doctors, jointly decided medical professionals, both by the NFL and NFLPA, that have said that there needs to be somewhat of a six-week on-ramp into playing games. And so the NFL kind of postured as if they wanted us to come early, but then obviously we've seen the cases rise, and now they're saying that preseason games are acceptable, even though the team of doctors said it probably isn't the best idea to play four or even two. And so we're still trying to get a great reason from the NFL why we should play two games. For us, it doesn't make a lot of sense. It's too risky.
Sam Acho joining us here, and just so you know, we've had a lot of players on, commissioners on from the other leagues, and there doesn't seem to be that answer anywhere that we've gotten of a number of positive tests triggers the cancellation of something. You guys are certainly not alone in that. It always seems to be a we'll know it when we see it kind of a situation, and unfortunately, I don't think people are really comfortable with that situation a lot. As far as where the negotiating goes from here, as far as reporting, when is everybody still reporting supposedly on July 28th, or is all that on hold until you guys can work out whatever negotiations are needed to be worked out?
Yeah, well, a lot of that is really up in the air. It's funny, I have a book coming out in the fall. It's called Let the World See You, How to Be Real in a World Full of Fakes. And you can find it at sammachobook.com. But in that book, there's a chapter titled Bargaining with Billionaires. It talks about some of the CBA negotiations I was a part of over the last few years. And those negotiations started off a lot like this one started off. The NFL essentially saying to the NFLPA that a lot of the stances that you're starting at are non-starters. And anytime you have one group saying to another group that you're having a non-starter, it's telling the other group that you don't want to come back to play. And if our players aren't safe and if we're putting each other at a lot of risk, it's hard to see us getting back to that July 28th start date. As of now, that date is still penciled in. But as I mentioned, it's a pencil. It's not a pen.
We're talking to Sam Acho, former Texas linebacker, NFL free agent, and a member of the NFL Players Association. And Acho, I want to go back to a word you used earlier. Where's the line for cancellation? In the mind of the Players Association, when you say cancel, are you meaning cancel the game as an entirety versus postponement versus forfeiture, essentially?
Yeah, I mean, what I think is I think the season should be postponed. I don't think, especially looking at cases in Texas and in Florida and all these different states where corona is on the rise, I think it'd be very difficult to start a football season on time. And so when the NFL says, number one, we're going to play, and number two, we're going to have two preseason games, even though it hasn't been, there's no medical reason as why we should have two over zero. And number three, we have no measure, right? We're talking about other leagues. Other leagues have bubbles. The NBA, WNBA, they're in bubbles. Other leagues have bubbles. They have ways to isolate themselves. The NFL doesn't. The NFL roster is 90 guys, maybe 100 if you include guys on the IR when you start the preseason. Yes, there's been conversation of cutting that roster down to maybe 80. Yes, there's been conversation of having different groups come in at different times. But at the end of the day, when games are played, when people are hitting each other for an average of 60 times a game, then you have to have some kind of answer to say, what will happen? Will the season be canceled? Will the season be postponed or delayed? And those are the conversations that we had yesterday. We're going to have them today, and we're likely going to continue to have them until we come up with a solution.
And Sam, one of the other portions of this that you mentioned is the discomfort around all this. You mentioned the idea of pushing back the start of the season. For some players, there might not be a comfort level with any of this. So where is the conversation around the idea of players who may want to opt out for their own concerns about dealing with the virus and trying to play through this?
Yeah, that's one of the toughest parts when you have a team, a league of 2,000 plus individuals trying to come to an agreement. Similarly, in 2017, when we were deciding, do we take a knee as a team? Do we stand? Do we lock arms during the conversation about social justice and during the national anthem? And I write about this in the book as well, about this idea of trying to get everyone on the same page. As a rep, I have my personal opinions, but as an executive committee member, as a player who represents the rest of my team and the league, I have to take their opinions in mind. And so even though I sit here and say the game should be delayed or maybe even canceled, there's a large contingent of players that say, hey, I need to play. And here's why. If you cancel the – and I'm not even talking about a season. I'm talking about the preseason, right? If you cancel the preseason, now all of a sudden these guys who may have had a chance to make the team, now they have no chance. Now they're cut immediately. Right? So there are these guys that say, I want to take that risk. I think the players should be able to decide what risks they do and don't want to take. And those are the conversations that we're having. Opt-out clauses, whether it's because you have a medical background or whether it's because you just choose to opt out. We're talking about tolling contracts. So you pause it now and you can pick it up next year. These are the different conversations that we need to get figured out before any football is played.
Sam Acho joining us now, a fourth-round pick back in 2011 by the Cardinals. Last team he played for was the Buccaneers last year. Committee for the Players Association. As far as testing, and I agree with you that the player safety and the testing procedure – it needs to be, you know, of utmost importance. Because, Sam, this is really kind of an outlier of what we're all going through and kind of feeling our way through. I'm curious, you mentioned WNBA, NBA, even hockey. They're all going to be in a bubble. Major League Baseball is not. The Bundesliga is not. Have you guys and or the league used or looked at those other leagues that are going to play it like you guys are as kind of a template of how they're testing?
That's a great question, and here's the problem with the premise. The problem with that premise is that if another league, let's say breakouts occur in the MLB or Bundesliga, and let's say their seasons get canceled, the NFL is not going to follow that model. The NFL's desire is to play games. I think a lot of Americans want to watch football. And so there's this mindset of we are going to find a way to fit the coronavirus into our football schedule. I think that mindset should be flipped. I think we should be trying to fit our football schedule within the confines of the coronavirus. And I think that's the discussion that needs to happen. Yes, we're looking at other leagues, but it's almost like we're looking at them through our rose-colored lenses of saying, this is going to happen one way or another. And I think when it comes to bargaining, when it comes to trying to come to an agreement when it comes to trying to get everyone not necessarily on the same page, but moving forward together in the right way. I think those are conversations, honest conversations you have to have rather than just trying to fit your league into the middle of a pandemic.
It's Golic and Wingo on ESPN Radio. Jason Fitz in for Trey Wingo, sitting with Mike Golic, Mike Golic Jr. We're talking to Sam Acho, former Texas linebacker, NFL Players Association executive board member. Also has a book coming out called Let the World See You. You can pre-order that at samachobook.com. So, Sam, I find it interesting. I mentioned your Texas background because one of the things we've been trying to figure out on this show is how college football should work in this. We all work a lot in that space. And trying to figure out, as somebody that's dealing with negotiations from a professional side, how do you see the college football world specifically and how they should be handling COVID-19?
Yeah, well, the college football world is in a little bit of a different world than the NFL, and here's why. Obviously, the NFL is about making money. I get that, and it's about entertainment. But college football is even in a tougher spot because look at the Alabamas, the Texases, the USCs of the world. Their football program not only provides money for their cities and states, but it also helps run the other schools' sports programs. And so without Alabama football, without USC football, Texas football, it's hard for other sports to really survive and thrive. And so I think what we're going to see in college sports is we're going to see two things. One, obviously teams are going more towards an intra-conference schedule, so no out-of-conference games. But as we see more and more conferences start to cancel seasons, I think there's going to be no or very little college football. And I think that that's going to be a really big problem for not only universities, but athletic directors and boosters alike.
Again, the book is Let the World See You. You can pre-order at samachobook.com. While we're on the subject of college football, obviously Texas, your alma mater and all this, was the center of a lot of conversation around college football as the players on the team came out with a list of demands that they wanted, things that they wanted changed around the school. And Texas has come out with a sweeping plan to, as they put it, redefine campus symbolism. I trust you've had a chance to look at some of the things that Texas is talking about doing in response to that. Is it enough in your mind based on what the players were looking for?
Well, it is, and here's the reason why. Actually, I tweeted out a statement of support to the players when I first saw the list of demands and requiring the school to make change. And that tweet responded to a call from the athletic director, Chris Del Conte. We got on the phone and actually got a chance to sit and meet with the AD and also the players, not only football, but volleyball, golf, players from all different sports coming together, men and women, coming together and saying, this is what we want. And as far as that list goes, the players, the athletes, the student athletes got essentially all that they asked for. Now, yes, they would have liked the song to go 100%. There's no doubt about that. But when you come to a negotiation, once again, talking about it, bargaining with billionaires, when you come to negotiations, you got to say, man, what's a win for me? If I can get all of this and I may not be able to get this, I believe that's still a win. It's not a zero-sum game. And so I think that I do. Not only do I applaud the athletic director and the president for making changes, but I applaud those student athletes because they stepped into that meeting. They said, this is what we want. We are not budging. This is why we want it. And you need to come and sit at the table and make some decisions. And I think the school did a great job of doing that.
Sam Acho joining us. Sam, obviously, we appreciate your time. We appreciate your insight and your openness when it comes to talking about what you guys are fighting for from the Players Association. Before we let you go, I work with your brother all the time and have in my life. Can you give me some sort of embarrassing nugget? Like, he's too good-looking and too talented. There's got to be something I can say that will really help me embarrass him at some point. You got anything for me?
Well, it's funny because my last embarrassing story for my brother wasn't all that embarrassing. He just talked about how competitive he was when we were kids. He'd be the guy to throw the controller. He'd be the guy to toss the basketball when we were playing basketball. I will say this. Emmanuel is great on TV, and he's obviously great at what he does. But this guy takes no nonsense, and if you've worked with him, you know that he takes no nonsense. He'll give you the side eye in a minute, in a heartbeat, and you'll feel like, oh man, I thought we were cool. What happened? And so, if I'm the guy who's laughing and smiling and joking, he's the guy who's in your face, no nonsense, get the job done. I want to see it done. I want to see it done well.
Yeah, that's the truth. I've seen that look when I've hosted College Football Live with them. Sam, we appreciate it. Good luck on the book. Thanks so much for coming on with us today and giving us your insight.
Awesome. Thanks so much. Look forward to being back on soon.
Golic and Wingo brought to you by DraftKings, America's top-rated daily fantasy app. guys, there's a lot of interesting in what he just talked about, because what you got is somebody from the Players Association telling us that he thinks postponement is the right answer, and you know they're worried about safety and testing.
I think that, and there is room by the league to push, because you can push the Super Bowl, so they can give themselves probably a couple of weeks if they need to. And, you know, listen, if you can get away with that, and that's the worst thing that happens, is you push the season, still get it all in, but just push it a couple weeks, I think you take it and run with it and be thankful for it. You would actually hope that's the only change that would be. I don't know if that's the truth or not. I know we talked about, you know, the doctor saying 6 weeks of workouts before a preseason game. Okay, I mean, I get it, but I still think you can use the preseason games as a bit of leverage, because 4 weeks, if you're 4 weeks, even though – listen, at some point you got to be a pro and be working out on your own. That's the thought process now of these guys. Then you get together and now you start working together as a team. I still think if you're working together as a team for 4 weeks and then you play one preseason game, that's if the season were to start on time. If you were to push the season, then you can get your 6 weeks in of practice, maybe with a preseason game, and start the season a little late if you want.
Yeah, I think I look at all of this and just it's a continual reminder that those are all things, and you certainly have a different perspective on this, because when you were playing college football and in the NFL, it was less of a year-round model than it is now for everybody. But relative to what these guys are used to, you have had nothing resembling the normal offseason. No. All the time they normally would have had together, all the time they would have had to have access in a lot of cases too. We've talked about this with the NBA players, the training facilities that they're used to, the ability to go out and do a lot of things. Hell, we've even seen the kind of public pressure and shaming associated with players trying to get together and work out together like they normally would in all of this. So once you've removed all that normalcy, I understand the fear around, all right, like, we understand the coronavirus fears in all of this, but me going out there and popping my Achilles, trying to get back to full contact drills much too soon in this process when I haven't had any of the normal movement patterns built in that I usually have leading up to this, that's a very understandable and real fear when it comes to the ramping back up process here and trying to get ready. That's why I keep asking guys, what did you feel like you needed to get ready? Because I feel like we have to have that and then some, because none of this has been normal, and whatever people were able to do in the past, it's what you've become accustomed to now, and we've completely broken that rhythm.
If there's a concept of delaying the NFL season, and that's what the Players Association seems to be thinking is the safest solution, I don't think anybody's doing more cartwheels for that than college football. Because let's be clear, if they delay the season, the draft is likely to be delayed. And one of the biggest constraints holding college football against the spring is the fact that the NFL seems to have no interest in moving the draft. So a delayed NFL season actually becomes a benefit as well to college football as they try to figure out how to navigate, if they need to navigate, to the spring.
Yeah, let's be clear. There is no like partnership or working together there. It is just what the NFL will allow you to do if you're college football in that regard.
College would just hope it would work out in their favor without any real work from the NFL in that. I don't know where this is going to go. That seems like a viable solution, though, especially when we're, right at 2 weeks when camp is supposed to be penciled in. If you guys can't even agree on what's going on. Now, you do have 2 weeks, and deadlines spur the most action, so you can see something getting done quickly, and it has no effect on players. Players are supposed to be, however they can be, working out now anyway, so that's the talk going on to be between union and league. That doesn't affect players that should be working out and being ready at this point, but it does seem like a viable option. The first thing to be done is let's just push everything.
Well, and I can say it because even the working out now leading up to it, what we've seen, and this is where the outside world kind of dictates, as Sam said, the virus sort of dictates what's possible in this. Remember, at the beginning, we dealt with the shutdown of a lot of gyms and places where guys would be able to work out.
Right.
We're dealing with some of that again right now, as California and other places are forced to reclose this. Places where guys, whether or not that's the team they're with, could have off-season homes, could live in the rest of their lives. So as you look at California, Texas, Florida, Ohio, all these places where you might be affected, it may affect your ability to train leading up to this, to be as ready as you'd like to be.
But in fairness, that's what the owners are standing back saying, hey, a delay, how do we know that we're, because we thought we were through the closures, right? And everything was getting better. Now everything's getting worse. There's no assurance, as we've constantly heard from owners and commissioners, there's no assurance that a delay means the numbers will actually get better. I understand that that means that if the numbers are getting worse, they shouldn't be playing anyway.
Right, correct, right.
But,
yeah.
But that is the argument. It's like, hey, get it in while we can, whatever that actually may mean.
And that is the central crux of this that Sam said. The virus should dictate the terms
and not
the other way around. When you try and force a square peg into a COVID hole, bad things tend to happen.
Golic and Wingo presented by Progressive Insurance. With more than 30 unique coverage options available, Progressive knows small business. Learn more at ProgressiveCommercial.com. We'll obviously keep our eyes on this over the course of the next few weeks. And I say that because I think everybody has to understand that even with another call with the Players Association today, I don't think we're going to find out that there's swift action on this.
No,
this is, when Sam says it's the beginning of the negotiation.
You talk about getting on the same page. We just want them all out of the same book right now. And then we'll work our way to the right chapter and then the right page.
It's a choose your own adventure in 2020. Yeah. I just keep picking the wrong hallway every single time.
Sports Center update. Panel of physicians denied reigning WNBA MVP Elena Deladon a request to opt out of the 2020 season due to medical concerns. She released a statement stating her personal physician advised her not to partake in the bubble due to her history of Lyme disease, further stating she is at high risk of contracting and having complications from COVID-19. The CDC does not put Lyme disease as a high-risk factor for COVID-19. One of the reasons the panel decided against Elena Deladon. In the NBA and the bubble in Disney, Sacramento Kings center Sean Holmes ordered some food. It got dropped off, and where he picked it up, he stepped outside of the boundary lines of the NBA bubble. So, because of that, he is subject to an additional 10-day quarantine in his hotel room. Now, according to our Bobby Marks, luckily this didn't happen when the game started, because after July 30th, when the game starts, if you do something like this, not only will you be sequestered away, but there will be a financial penalty as well. Shedeur Sanders is the son of Deion Sanders. He's committed to FAU. Shedeur is the 8th-ranked pocket passer, number 41 overall prospect for 2021 ESPN recruiting rankings. He's the first ESPN 300 recruit to choose Florida Atlantic since ESPN started its rankings in 2009. So he committed to Willie Taggart and the Owls despite having offers from Alabama, Florida, LSU, Georgia, Oregon, and Michigan, amongst others. On this date, July 14th, year 2004, Shaq was traded from the Lakers to the Heat for Caron Butler, Lamar Odom, Brian Cook, and a first rounder. That marked the end of the Shaq-Kobe era, which brought him 3 titles. Shaq would go on to win a championship with the Heat in 2006.
SportsCenter is brought to you by Goodyear. Goodyear believes that movement drives us forward, and they believe in the importance of a pit stop. Sometimes that's all it takes, a moment to pause before we all start moving again. So as you get ready for the road ahead, Goodyear's here to help. Visit Goodyear.com to learn more. Goodyear, more driven.
Skola Kawingo on ESPN Radio and ESPN News. Jason Fitz in for Trey on SiriusXM Channel 80. Also, we're presented by Progressive Insurance. Sitting with Mike Golic, Mike Golic Jr., and we've had a lot of conversation and trying to get a lot of perspective, as many different perspectives as possible right now, on the decision by the Washington football team to change their name and logo. So to do that, we've given some of our perspective, but guys, we've also talked to some guests that have a lot of experience with the organization. Let's do that again by heading over to the Shell Penzo Performance Line, where we're joined by Vinny Serrato, former Washington executive, couple of different stints with this Washington football team. So Vinny, A, we appreciate your time. Thank you so much for joining us, but give us a little perspective, since this is such an old debate, when you were in the building, what the debate about the team name was like at the time.
There was never a debate. It was never changing. The name of the team, Dan Snyder's dad, Jerry, was a historian and loved and read every book about the history of the Redskins and followed it. And, you know, Dan grew up Redskin fan. So I think it was out of the loyalty to his dad and growing up that he loved the Redskins football team, you know, and the name of the team. So I didn't think it would ever change, but now he had to change. He was backed into a corner financially that he had to do it. And when the George Floyd and all that stuff occurred, then it was done. You know, it wasn't about that they were going to fight it anymore. It was about we're going to go into discussions. You know, I mean, once that statement came out, I knew it was changing.
Vinny Serrano joining us again. He got went to the Washington 99-01, was gone for a year, came back in 02 through 09. So in the time you were there, how much push was there ever or talk about the name and the possibility of changing it in the time you were there?
Zero. Never. Was never brought up. Never discussed. You know, I mean, you know, sometimes I remember sitting in Dan's office with his dad, and his dad would be reading books and, you know, just talked about how much he loved the Redskins. The name change was Mike never talked about and never really discussed. It never was a conversation when I was there.
Just in general, behind the scenes, what is working for Dan Snyder like?
Well, it's good and bad. You know, I mean, Dan was great to me. You know, I mean, he was great to me, great to my family. It was interesting. Let me just say, you know, I mean, there was good days, there was bad days, and here's how it was like working for him. Okay, I'll tell you a story. We're on vacation at his Aspen house, you know, and he's out in the living room or whatever, and I'm, you know, just waking up in the bedroom. He calls me on my phone. Where are you? I said, I'm in a bedroom. Come on out here. I need to talk to you. You know, so, I mean, that's kind of, you're on call 24/7. Let me just say that.
We're talking to Vinny Serrato, former Washington executive, getting a little perspective. He joins us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. So with as much as you know about Dan Snyder and understanding to the point that you've made that this was never going to be a conversation that he wanted to have, he's been backed into a corner and made this change. So how will Dan Snyder react moving forward?
Well, I think he'll be fine. I think here's the thing I think it'll be. They retired the name. The name is not gone. There'll still be the history, you know, of Doug Williams, Joe Gibbs, Darryl Green, you know, all the great things that have gone on in the history of the Washington Redskins football team will still be there. But it'll be history, and it'll be a new name and a new beginning. So I kind of look at it as a new beginning for Dan, and, you know, hopefully the new beginning is a good beginning, and I think Ron Rivera will help him through that.
As far, you know, we've talked to a number of former players, and they said, Vinny, that they had talked about it, that when they got to the organization, it was somewhat discussed. And for the most part, they're like, hey, we're football players that we play. So I know you said, Dan, this was never a discussion. Did you ever have a discussion with the players about this at all?
I don't ever remember a conversation with a player, you know, about it, Mike. I don't ever remember a player bringing up the conversation, you know, about the name.
Do you think this is the right move? Do you think he should have done it?
Yeah, I think, you know, for where we're at in society and everything, I think it was an absolute that needed to be done. And I think he realized that. I mean, you know, his business partners, you know, Dwight and Bob Rothman and Fred Smith, I mean, yeah, they tried to push upon him, you know, recently. So I think it was something that needed to be done. And Mike Wise was, you know, pushing it for a long time, you know, with the Washington Post. And, you know, it finally got done, needed to be done. And I think, you know, in 5 years when Dan thinks back about it, you know, I think he'll probably say, why did I wait so long?
How much does the prospect of a stadium being back in D.C. have to do with all of this? How long has that been a goal for Dan Snyder since we've heard that some of the pressure surrounding that politically might have also played a role in this?
Ever since Jerry built his stadium, since the first time we flew down, we were playing the Cowboys, and we flew down and had dinner in Jerry's box, like on a Friday night, and we were playing on Sunday. So it was I think it was like me, Dan, might have been his sister, and the Joneses family and everything in Jerry's private box. We had dinner in the box and everything, and Jerry gave us a tour of the stadium, and he's over there pushing the button, opening the roof and closing the roof, you know. And ever since then, I'm going to have one bigger and better. And trust me when I tell you this, Dan will have one bigger and better. And I said this on my show like a couple weeks ago, Mike, that he'll use it as a chip to be able to get that land where RFK was, you know, to change the name. I would bet that it's somewhere involved in there that the name change is also, you know, helping him get the piece of property that he really probably wants.
Vinny, we appreciate your expertise, my friend. Thanks so much for joining us. Stay safe, and thanks for the insight.
You got it, guys. And you know what? Hopefully we have a Notre Dame season going.
Yeah, there you go.
Fingers crossed. Fingers crossed for that one, Vinny.
Thanks, Vinny. I hope there's a college season as well. Interesting take, because we've heard from players. They talked about how they discussed it, you know, and where Vinny Serrato's position was obviously more talking with Dan Snyder than the players, and talked about saying it was never discussed, never even brought up, but yet the players talked about bringing it up and really what they did, hey, we're just going to play ball.
Well, yeah, and I'm sure the players hear it from fans and everybody else, and how many players have a relationship enough to have that conversation with folks in the
management,
front office anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
well, and you mentioned the stadium, Junior, and I think that's an important another layer to this conversation, because the city had made it clear that they would not offer that land to the team as long as they had an inappropriate nickname. So that nickname's gone. I wonder how long it'll take before now we start openly leveraging for a new stadium.
And I guess it's how you look at things. There's change for the sake of changing something because you know it needs to be changed. And then there's change for the sake of this is the right thing for my business to do, even though if I don't believe in the change. You can on one hand say at least there was the change. You know, you made the change. And then the other hand is, well, okay, this was purely a financial move and a political move for the stadium, financial move for to not have people boycott, you know, the investors and or people part of the companies, you know, pull their money away. So do you say, well, it got done, we don't care how it got done, or do we say, you know, boy, this is kind of a messy way for it to get done?
I mean, in the same sense, although I know they're much different situations, let's remember that Donald Sterling was forced to sell his NBA team for billions of dollars. On one hand, I feel like we look at this and say, hey, we want Daniel Snyder to come out and say something and learn from this and come out and acknowledge that he was in the wrong. But ultimately, I don't think we're ever going to get that. At least what we're getting is change. And it might just be he might be changing because he has to, and there could be all these business reasons. But if we're looking for a person to change, that's difficult. If we're demanding a business to change, that's obviously been affected by the bottom line.
Yeah, and this is, I think, you know, we've talked so much about the people that have been held publicly accountable in a lot of this, and we look at Drew Brees and what he dealt, you know, what happened with Drew Brees when he came out and made his public statement and the blowback and what we expected there, because Drew Brees was someone that for so many was lauded for all the positive things that he's done, and people said, well, imagine if we can get a little bit of growth in this one area we've said we're disappointed, how much you could help affect change. Daniel Snyder doesn't have the same background of someone that's been an ally to others or a positive side on a lot of this stuff for people outside of providing jobs for people within the Washington organization. So you wonder if there is just this idea of maybe we get this change, we wash our hands of it, and then we go back to focusing on life without this guy as part of a picture of meaningful change that we know he's never really going to be a part of.
First, we got to do a little thing we like to call over-under.
Over-under.
You guys know the game. It's pretty self-explanatory.
You know, I hate to be a downer.
Okay.
I'm going to take the under there.
Oh, Trey.
Hammer the over.
Over, under.
Too much of a coward to put your opinions on tape? Wow.
With Golic and Wingo.
Here we go.
Golic and Wingo is brought to you by Blue Emu. Blue Emu Maximum Pain Relief works fast and you won't stink. It's pharmacist recommended odor-free pain relief for muscle pain, backaches, strains, sprains, and even arthritis. There's no stinging or burning involved. It's simple pain relief. Blue Emu Maximum Pain Relief works fast and you won't stink.
Golic and Wingo on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, Sirius XM, Channel 80. Jason Fitz in for Trey Wingo, sitting with Mike Golic. Mike Golic Jr. And gentlemen, it's time to have a little bit of Vegas fun.
It is time to have a little bit of Vegas fun. I almost had a little bit of Mark Schlereth fun who joined us earlier. As I said, you won't stink on here. The Siri on my Apple Watch picked that up and almost called stink.
Wow, how
Mark
about Schlereth
that? In that one. So we almost got a double dose of stink in here, but instead we get one solid shot at over under on here. Pretty self-explanatory, as the handsome gentleman said in the rejoin. So I will give you some numbers, and we will make some decisions in this one. And Jason, I want to start with you. Over under 5.5 rings for one Patrick Mahomes. Remember, he joined SportsCenter and mentioned that he is chasing Tom Brady. I believe he joined Nicole Briscoe on SportsCenter. Said he's chasing Tom Brady's mark of 6 rings and all this one. So, over-under, is he catching the GOAT?
No, that's an under. I mean, anytime I got to take over-under and only one player's done it, and it's the greatest. I mean, I'm taking the under on this one, and let's acknowledge the fact that while I think the Chiefs are clearly the best team in the NFL this year, and they've got a little window here, there is a middle of the contract where they'll have some salary cap things they got to negotiate. They got to figure some things out. Plus, if I believe he's going to get 6 in the next 12 years, then I need to get like a weekend job so I stop watching football, because watching my beloved Raiders is not going to be fun.
This is an easy under for me. One guy has done this. I mean, I don't care how much you love, you know, Hall of Famer Patrick Mahomes. That's a tall, tall task. I easily take the under, and I would be stunned if you didn't either, Mike.
Yeah, I mean, again, on this one, it's safe to bet the under. Even with Patrick Mahomes, who we can expect. Again, I've said, you don't need to have realistic expectations for the season.
Right.
That's dumb. Expect the unrealistic from him in this one. But this is team dependent. Like I said, I'd be more comfortable betting an over related to Patrick Mahomes' MVPs than I would Patrick Mahomes' team winning the Super Bowl.
There you go.
Because that's such a difficult thing for anyone to pull off in this situation right here. All right. Over under. There we go. Thank God we got some music on here. I was getting very freaked out doing that with no music bed on this. Over under. Let's stick with rings. Rings plus minus. The Stu Gottstat. Giannis career rings. Over under 3. Be the same number as LeBron James. A bit more of an accessible number.
Right.
The NBA, again, the world of rings judging, you know, your worth in the NBA is a metric we can question, but it is one where LeBron James is not on the high end with this, with 3 rings. Do you think Giannis catches that?
Kobe won 3 of his titles from ages 21 to 23. Jordan, 3 titles from 28 to 30. I think he can get there. I mean, in this day and age when you can kind of work your way to a team with other stars or have stars join you, we don't know where it's going to be, like with him in Milwaukee, or if he'll be somewhere else, but I'll go over. I'll go over on this.
That's an interesting point, because we have the same logic, and it's the reason I go under. I think they have a great shot at the championship this year. I think I wouldn't be surprised at all to see Milwaukee win it, and I think he's going to end up in Milwaukee long-term if that happens. But the way player movement works so much in the NBA, it's just hard for me to see another team in the East not rising, especially when you start looking at the talent in the league that's under the age of 24. It's just right now it feels so stacked that we're going to see a bunch of guys win a few titles here and there.
I'm going to reset the over-under at 3.5, because I think he might actually tie. I think
I think
3 is a doable number. I don't think he's going to get more. But you think about it, just timeline with this. Giannis is what, 25 years old?
25, yes.
25 years old. So you look at that situation, just the timeline for this. LeBron, while he is great now, probably isn't going to be around in another 5 years on all this. So Giannis is in theory going to get a time period where LeBron James is no longer a part of this league. Steph Curry and that crew are even going to have an age a little more. Kawhi Leonard, all the people that are stoppers in so many ways on this, you're going to talk about him probably direct compete with like Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, that wave of stars, where at that point Giannis is probably going to have a much better claim to the best player in the league, bar none, with little competition.
Can you imagine the excitement for Bucks fans that have waited this long, and now all of a sudden we're talking about how many rings can he win? Woo!
Yeah, exactly. That's, you know what? Again, fingers crossed, because we know those rings could come somewhere else. Golic and Wingo here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr., Jason Fitz in for Trey. Let's go over under. Clemson losses at 0.5.
Oh, my God.
Jason.
That's
assuming they play a full schedule other than Notre Dame.
Yeah,
other than Notre Dame, who won 11 games, only one team on their schedule had 9 wins last year, and that was Virginia, who also played in the ACC championship game.
So we're just saying regular season here, right? So we're not including any possible playoff. Or are we taking the playoff? This one's tough for me, because I don't think Clemson's not going to lose a game in the regular season to me. So they're undefeated in the regular season, but I still think Ohio State is going to turn out to be the best team in all the land this year. So that one's tough for me. I'll take the under, though. If I got to bet on somebody, I'm betting on Clemson.
If it's regular season, I'm definitely going under on this, for sure. I mean, what are they, like 16-0 in the last 16 games, the ACC? I know the tough one would be Notre Dame. But they're tough to bet against right now. They have the best player in the game, and Trevor Lawrence running the show. So I go under.
Yeah, I would. Do we decide? Are we saying regular season for this?
No, we're keeping playoffs. We're putting playoffs in too. Make it.
Oh, we're gonna put playoffs in too.
Man,
I'll take the over on this one. I'm very interested what the offense is gonna look like. You lose a couple of guys on that offensive line. you obviously bring Travis Etienne back, who's going to be one of the best running backs in college football, but that receiving attack, no T. Higgins, Justin Ross out for the year after that surgery, it's going to be a different-looking group. And so I'll say maybe on the top end, because a team like Ohio State might come back with a little more consistency on that offense, maybe I'll give them, but I don't feel great about it.
If this is the whole season, including championship, I'm going over then.
Ooh, okay. Yeah.
All right, over-under, Tiger Woods majors this year. In honor of Tiger's return to the tour this season, let's already talk about how many majors he might win. Let's set it at a half. So does Tiger get one this year?
I have to go under. I mean, he's just not going to be consistent play this year, right? Everything gets kind of moved around as well. I'd love to see it again. I would love to see him pull it off. I mean, my God, him winning the Masters last year was just unbelievable, but I don't see it happening.
Tiger Woods' next win will be his 83rd career win. He would pass Sam Snead for the all-time mark. Stats incredible. Brought to you by My Computer Career, training for a better life. I take the over simply because I need nice things right now.
I'm going to take the over because I was the one that was cautious and doubted when Tiger came back originally off his injury hiatus, and then I realized it was much more fun being a part of the joy, so I'm not going to bet the do not pass line on this one. I'm going to ride with the table.